Emma Kent.
And I'm Derek Russell, and this is The Memo,
a podcast of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and djournal.com.
It's Friday afternoon. That means it's another time for another episode of The Memo podcast. I'm Derek Russell, joined by Emma Kent.
Sorry. I'm going to introduce myself.
I apologize. You are fully capable of doing
that. I'm Emma Kent.
Thank you. Sorry. I wasn't trying to.
I know. I didn't mean to. You were like, you kind of paused and then you looked over, and so I thought you were like cueing me, but I misread the signals.
I had to remember what your name was. Sorry. So you are Emma, is that right? I almost said Irma Kent.
Some people call me that.
Really?
Irma?
Do tell.
I had a great-grandfather.
I was just kidding, by the way. I know your name. But
I know. my great-grandfather called me Irma. He was very old. I don't know if he was doing it on purpose or by accident. No. And then I have a friend who calls me Irma, just for fun.
Just never learned and thought it was Irma.
Lots of people call me different things.
I guess if you put those
N's
close enough together, it might look like an R. And
yeah, so it's like, that works.
You cut all your hair off.
I did.
Like all of it. You look like me now. You're bald.
I'm not bald.
It's radio. They don't know. They don't know what it is. What's wrong with being bald?
Nothing.
You paused. What was that?
Nothing's wrong with being bald. Okay. You know, Natalie Portman did it really well.
Thank you.
It's just winter, and I like a little bit of warmth.
Yeah. So, you cut off your hair?
Yeah, but like, I mean, if I didn't have any hair, I would be.
Oh, I got you.
I would be really.
I was just
cold.
Like, what, you do that in the summer when it's hot?
No,
and you cut off your hair.
No. Okay.
All right.
It does cut down on the static.
Yeah, I can imagine. You're a sweater wearer too, so.
Yes, you're very observant.
You're wearing one right now. Logic dictates you probably have more than one.
You're right. I wore one yesterday and probably the day before that. So.
I thought you were wearing a blazer yesterday.
I was, but I was wearing a sweater underneath it.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
Well,
that was fun.
Great recap of
your hair.
The things that I've worn this week and my hair.
I don't know. What was I wearing yesterday?
You're wearing that red and green.
Look at you.
Check shirt.
Yeah. Well, technically that was Wednesday, but yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're right.
Chris, what were you wearing yesterday?
You tell me.
I don't know, probably a dress shirt and khakis. I don't know. You, whatever you were wearing, your collar was messed up. And I kept thinking, every time I passed you, I was like, I'm going to fix this collar. And I never did. Because I always like had headphones on or something.
Thanks for the heads up.
I should have texted me, like, fix your collar. Because it was behind. It was like I was riding something and you'd walk by. And I was like, that collar is still messed up. But I haven't done anything about it yet. But in my OCD brain.
So you tell me now. Appreciate it.
I didn't think about it until we were just talking about what each of us were wearing.
I think Chris was wearing a plaid shirt.
I was.
Historically speaking, I bet it was khakis, too.
I don't remember.
It was. It was red and blue.
I apologize for not...
You're good.
Being observant but not executing what I realized.
I can remember what people were wearing on certain days.
That's a really weird superpower to have.
I remember, like, what I was...
almost useless.
I remember exactly
unless you're being investigated by the police.
I remember exactly what I was wearing on, like, certain days of my life.
Wedding dress, yeah.
Okay,
all right, yeah.
Important days.
Would you care to give an example?
My first day of kindergarten. Tell you what I was wearing.
Why? Why do you remember that?
Because I liked it. I remember it was a cool dress.
Do you still have it? You're so small, you could probably still fit in it.
It was yellow and pink, and it was striped. It was a little like shirt dress.
Shirt dress. Did it have pockets?
It did not have pockets, but it was from like it had like a little polo. It's like a polo dress, and I thought it was really cool. And I was carrying my brand new Mulan lunchbox.
In kindergarten.
That
was so old when that movie came out. What were you wearing your first day?
Oh, I don't know.
I had my Flintstones backpack and my Johnny Carson t-shirt.
Johnny Carson t-shirt?
I was just trying to age myself appropriately.
I see what you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a Jetsons lunchbox.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's cool.
And a Muppets one.
Are lunchboxes cool anymore? Like, do kids still bring lunchboxes?
Yeah, but now it's like L.L. Bean
with the monograms and stuff.
Well, Wesley's monogrammed. I can't remember. Hers has pandas all over it, but it's like a
that's cool though
pattern, you know, repeating.
Yeah.
And Lauren Wood's out there doing jumping jacks. I'm not sure what that just caught my eye. I'm
that's
sorry.
Pretty normal.
Oh yeah, probably
just another day.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that's the cool thing now. I don't think the cool thing is to have like a character backpack or.
So sad.
Anything
like cars? Isn't cars cool?
Well, they still have them, Moana. But I don't think it's like the thing anymore.
I would have.
I don't know. We Moana. Our generation was JanSport. That was yeah. the. That
I had
was
JanSport the, backpacks.
That was JanSport. The, and then LL Bean after us.
Yeah,
was the thing like, with like the monogram,
the Hawaiian three. Flowers and stuff. I remember everybody had an LL Bean backpack that had like this like Hawaiian.
I don't remember
pattern.
That. Ours were just
I think
like
my sister did. I think she had the Hawaiian
I
pattern.
I just yeah, remember a lot of people had those. And then everybody had Vera Bradley. Are you familiar?
Yeah, I'm familiar.
My sister's big Vera Bradley.
Yeah.
Everyone had Vera Bradley lunchboxes.
Oh, wow.
When I was in high school.
I think by the time I had a Hunter Green JanSport that lasted me through middle school and maybe freshman year of high school, but it was just a brown paper sack.
Yeah, same.
I never ate in the cafeteria, ever. I always took my lunch.
I actually can't think of a single day where I ever ate mm-mm. in the cafeteria. Mm-mm.
Never happened.
Uh-uh.
But you could tell us what you were wearing if you did on that day, probably, I bet.
Yeah. I could tell you what I was wearing the day of the 8th grade food fight.
What were you wearing on 9/11?
I don't know. I don't remember.
I figured that one might be important enough. You're not sure on that one, though.
I remember other things about that day, but I don't remember what I was wearing.
Like planes crashing into buildings?
I remember recess.
Recess?
No, I remember recess because my class was the only class that was allowed to watch the news that day. I was in third grade. And my teacher's husband was in the military and she let us watch the news. But none of the other classes got to watch the news. So at recess, we all like gathered around and our people in our class were telling the other classes like what was happening.
But on a third grade level.
That's when the journalism bug began for her.
Now, she remembers what she was wearing. She would have remembered what she was wearing that day if that was it. She's going to drink for a second and then give us something quippy.
I don't have
too much
anything.
Pressure, right?
I don't have anything
all right,
to say.
We'll move on. We'll move
this
on.
This has been a pretty uninteresting conversation
I just,
for most people.
Well, I mean, it's just the headline of, I can tell you what I was wearing when things happened.
Not on 9/11. I can tell you what I was wearing... On lots of other days, though. I remember what shirt I was wearing when my parents told me they were getting divorced.
We got a full show for today. Scott Morris will just be joining saying. Us. I think I could remember that, too, actually.
See?
Not what you were wearing.
You were wearing that
yeah.
purple shirt. Yeah. It's, yeah, whatever. Man, this is so uplifting.
Oh, Scott, well, it's going to get worse. Scott Morris joining us today. We know how uplifting he can be certain times, and then Jenna Parsons as well. So
let's get to it.
Let's do it. Scott Morris is here. He witnessed a murder last week.
I did. Murder most foul. Old-fashioned murder.
Or he came in to a murder a few moments after it happened.
No, you're right, I didn't actually see the murder. Yeah. I was but I knew somebody was going to get killed, and then somebody got killed.
Yeah,
and I don't want to tell you who because part of it is who they're going to kill.
Right,
and then they kill that person.
And then who did it?
And then who did it?
Yeah,
right. So it's Agatha Christie, the goddess novelist of crime stories, who made Hercule Poirot, her detective, kind of an international figure just jumping out of the page.
Mm-hmm.
I remember watching a version of this story back in the 80s.
Yeah.
So it's been around for a long time. And I think the mystery itself is kind of dated. And as we're going through it, I thought the mystery was like, there's just too many coincidences popping up.
Yeah.
They kind of satisfy that with me at the end. I was satisfied with it to a degree. But what I really liked about it, Kenneth Branagh directed this. He also stars as Poirot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he understood that it needed to be a time travel device. And it hasn't been getting very good reviews that I've seen. But I sat down and just kind of enjoyed the pacing. I enjoyed what it was like to be on the in the first cast, first class car mm-hmm. Of a train from mm-hmm. that era. You start off, I believe, in Turkey, and you have all these kind of, I don't know, just rich, sensual moments. And then you spend time with these characters who, in some ways, maybe they're stereotypes, but you still, like Dame Judi Dench is a princess, and you expect her to be more haughty, and she kind of is, but she's also surprisingly not. One character is the mustache that Kenneth Branagh wears as Poirot. That thing is a set unto itself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you get used to it by the end of it. But it's the cause of some enjoyment, some laughs, and there are a surprising number of laughs as Poirot deals with the other characters. And so I used to be afraid that I'd been changed by life and by TV and by ADHD or whatever it is, that I couldn't sit through a slow-moving movie anymore. And it turns out, no, I was wrong. Those actually were just bad movies.
I worried the same to say that, and I almost had to sit through it twice. I went to see it at Times Square last weekend, and I got to see it in 70mm, which I was really excited about because there's only like 8 theaters in the U.S. that do the 70mm. And right after they board the train and it takes off, the film caught on fire and burned on the screen. And we're all just like, it's a sold out theater, and everybody just groans. I mean,
that's 4D. That's a 4D movie.
In a movie when it happens, and we all kind of, well, the audio had been messing up for like a minute there, and then it finally was working again, and then just like dissolved.
Yeah.
And some guy comes in and he's like, so we can't watch that anymore. We'll restart it in digital. So then we had to sit there the first 30 minutes again because they couldn't fast forward it in digital. And so I had to sit there for.
What's the point of having digital if you can't fast forward?
That's what I was like. You can go through a 35mm, but you can't hit fast forward on a digital.
You couldn't just press a button or something
I've
and just go.
IMAX can't rewind.
I have a DVR, and what I can do is I can just fast forward. I mean, that's my TV. Not a $1,000 equipment.
You know, 8-track, you couldn't rewind. You could fast forward at least. Yeah. But so anyway, we had to watch the first 28 minutes again or whatever.
I could see how that could be. I mean,
once we got to that point again, I was like, okay, here we go. But it was enjoyable. I had a good time watching it.
Yeah,
I love the 74 version. I mean, it's an all-star cast, and the fact that they were able to have a really huge, again, all-star cast for this one.
Yeah, so you got a great, you know, you got Johnny Depp in it. You got Judi Dench, Kenneth Branagh, Daisy Ridley, who's from Star Wars these days. Penelope Cruz, Josh Gad plays a character, and then again, Judi Dench and Willem Dafoe. I'm always, ever since he was Elias in Platoon, I've always been a Willem Dafoe fan.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Pfeiffer. She's got a big role.
Yeah.
And again, I think it's a transporter movie. Its main thrust for me, its main value for me, is it takes you to another time and place, it's a throwback story. It's a story that was written years ago, set in 35, or probably written in 35. You know, something that has some time on it, and I think that's a value.
One thing I liked about it that I don't really feel in the old version is I felt claustrophobic in the movie, like during certain scenes. And when you were so enclosed in that train. And then when they would go outside the train, it was like you could breathe a little bit. Like when he's walking around the top. And
yeah. Well, see, I felt comfortably snug.
Really?
And I felt so agoraphobic. I felt snug. I liked the rich paneling and all the accoutrements.
Well, I know.
And all that.
When it first starts and they're serving dinner and tea, all that felt good. But as he began investigating everybody one-on-one and chose different spaces to investigate people based on their persona.
That's so important too, is it not? I mean, the fact that when he's talking to them, I mean, that's where a lot of where he like approaches each character differently, and each character has a different thing going on, and he's trying to, you know, he's trying to, and they all know it. It's not like he's pretending. He's like just one more, not a Columbo, just one more question. He's like, no, I think you might have done it, and I'm here to find out if you did. You know, there's no pretense in what he does, but there's charm in it.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed that.
I did as well. You gave it a.
I gave it a B minus.
B minus.
I don't think it was a great movie. I don't think that it was a great mystery, but I think it was an enjoyable story. What grade would you give it?
right around in there somewhere. I did like they shook things up a little bit with the ending, so it wasn't just the same exact thing you'd watched over again. And I appreciated the conclusion.
Yeah. And I felt that Perot had an arc, you know, yes. that was satisfying. That, yeah. that you could see that he goes through something in this process. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I liked it. It's playing. Where is it playing?
I think it's at the Malco and the Cinemark.
Yeah, right.
And so you got your choice there. It's in Tupelo, Oxford, Corinth, and Columbus at Malco's, and Cinemark in Tupelo, and Hollywood Premier Cinemas if you happen to be in Starkville.
You know what you're saying next week yet?
I have not decided. It's on me. There's no Kelly involved. So it's either going to be Justice League or Wonder. And I don't know. I mean, the Justice League, you want to see for the spectacle of it, but then I've been so disappointed with all of Zack Snyder's renditions of the DC world. And so I'm kind of curious about Wonder, but that's going to be kind of a little bit syrupy and sympathetic and kind of whatever kind of movie.
I've not seen it getting very good reviews either.
It's gotten better. It's like 77 on Rotten Tomatoes, and the ones coming out for Justice have not been as good. But I still may just have to go see a superhero movie. I'm something of an addict.
Yeah, Wonder. Yeah, 80%.
80%. It was 77 the last.
I guess I may have been looking at something else.
So there's a lot of sentimentality to it, which you would expect. But I mean, I think it's one of those things that really grabs the emotions. I would expect. So I don't know what we're going to do. I think is I'm going to download photographs for both. I'm going to go to lunch with my family on Sunday, and we'll take a vote at the table and see what we go see.
There you go. Maybe I was looking at. I was excited for Denzel Washington's new movie, and it only has 47% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Is that this week as well?
I think it's this week.
Next week is Coco, Pixar. It's got to happen. Yeah, got to happen. Got to be Pixar at Thanksgiving.
All right, Scott, thanks for joining us.
Thank you much.
Don't forget to look for the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with Brad Locke and Dalton Middleton. New episodes air every Wednesday, and you can listen for free in iTunes, podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans can check out the Double Coverage podcast. Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry release a new episode every Thursday in which they provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and the Rebels. Listen to it for free in iTunes, podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com.
You can also listen to the Daily Journal's newest podcast, Open the Case of Leochi, where Emma takes a fresh look at the unsolved disappearance of a 13-year-old Tupelo girl from 25 years ago. The 6-episode investigative serial podcast is now available on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and a variety of other podcast apps, or you can stream it from the website at djournal.com/openpodcast.
Jenna Parsons here now to talk about this week's food section. Jenna, you wrote a story about First United Methodist Church in Houston. They're getting into the holiday spirit for their parish fall bazaar.
Yes, it's on Friday. And I don't even know how many years they've been doing this, but I mean, it's decades. And they do breakfast in the morning. The men of the church cook a full breakfast, and you get what you want, and you make a donation. You can have a sausage biscuit, or you can have the whole, you know, bacon, eggs, biscuits. Then they do a spaghetti lunch, and the different parishes make the spaghetti sauce. They all use the same recipe, and it's got ground beef and ground pork in it, and mm-hmm. lots of vegetables, onions and bell peppers and celery. And they were making, some of the ladies in Macedonia were making that when I went to do the interview. Macedonia is one of the little churches. But they also will have vendors, 29 vendors will be there selling jewelry and clothing and yard art and cosmetics, different things. But the emphasis is that they will have a booth, the church will have a booth, and they will sell all manner of frozen casseroles and fresh baked goods to the public.
So you can get a nice casserole to take to Thanksgiving next week.
Yes, they do chicken and dressing, cornbread dressing, hash brown casserole, sweet potato casserole. They do a poppy seed chicken. That's another thing they were making the day we were there. And, I mean, when you walk into a room and all you smell is celery and onion sautéing, I know Thomas and I were like, we are now hungry. We are officially hungry. So, but yes, they will have all sorts of frozen things for sale, casserole soups, and then different members of the different churches in the parish will make like big three-layer cakes and pies and cookies and brownies and that type of thing. And it's an all-day thing. It starts at 6:30 with breakfast, and it goes until 4 in the afternoon. And you can just come and have the spaghetti lunch for $8 and not even shop the bazaar if you don't want to.
So it looks like there's something, a little bit of something for everybody.
Yes.
So the proceeds from it, what do they do with the proceeds?
The majority of it, there are 10 church in. I'm an Episcopalian, so mm-hmm. I don't understand all the ways of the Methodist Church, but I have learned from going to Houston for years that the parish that Houston is in is made up of three charges. There's the South Charge that has four small churches, and the North Charge that has four small churches, and then the Houston Charge, which is Houston and Prospect Church. But the small churches in the North and the South, they don't have a full-time pastor, so the majority of the money that they make at this bazaar and the rummage sale that they have in conjunction with it a little bit earlier goes mainly to pay for the lay ministers that come into the small churches so that they have someone to preach the gospel on Sunday.
Awesome. Well, that sounds like a fun event. So everybody can go check that out on Friday.
Friday.
Well, today.
Yes.
Today. So
just a few hours.
Yep. Until 4 p.m. So there's still time. Okay, well, let's talk about your cook of the week this week. She's a retired librarian and a former Tupelo Public School District librarian, and her family loves to eat, as you say in your story. So she had to learn to cook.
Yes, well, and not just it's also her siblings. They her parents always had a garden. It was her mama's garden when she was little, and then it was her daddy's garden. And now she and her siblings still keep that garden up at their parents' home. Her dad has passed, but her mom is still alive. And so she grew up in a family that loved to eat, and now she feeds her children and her grandchildren and is actually teaching her grandchildren to cook a little bit and letting them get in the kitchen with her.
Yeah, and this is Janice Garrett.
Yes, Janice Garrett, who lives in East Tupelo.
East Tupelo.
She did work, she retired, I believe, from the Tupelo Public School District, but she also worked at the Tupelo High, Pierce Street, and Lawhorn, and she also worked in Pontotoc, Fulton, Hamilton, Mantachie, and Starkville, and a little bit at the Lee County Library. So wow. She's had her hand in just about every...
She's been everywhere.
In all the schools.
Yeah. I love her quote about the garden where she says, we grow peas and green beans, da, da, da. And she says, we just can't give it up.
They can't give it up.
I love that.
Yes, she still puts stuff up every year.
Well, that's great. And I also, she says her Bible is the Better Homes and Gardens cookbook from 1972.
Yes.
And
she had that out, and it was old and stained and marked with, smudges of different foods as you cook the recipe on that page. But she says she wouldn't give anything for it. And she often, when she's out, like at an antique shop or a thrift shop, she will look for that edition of that cookbook to give to somebody because...
Oh, wow.
She said all the recipes are just, they're just winners. They're proven and they're tried and true, just old-fashioned, good cooking.
I love that. So did you get to try her chocolate pie?
Sadly, I did not. She offered it to me, but I was strong and I did not have any. But it had a big meringue on it.
It looks, yeah, you can see it in the photo that's there with the article. It looks like a good meringue.
Yes, and I think she has one of her children... I think a daughter and son-in-law and grandchildren are living with her right now because they're building a house.
Oh, okay.
And so I think that pie was destined for their after-school snack day.
That's a nice thing to come home from school to.
Yeah, grandma's made a pie.
I'm going to go to her house after school.
I'll give you directions.
After work, I guess. I don't go to school anymore. Okay, well, let's talk about your Brussels sprouts recipe from your column. I know we talked about these Brussels sprouts a couple weeks ago.
We did.
When we were talking about the pork loin.
The pork loin that was wrapped, right.
I was glad to see the recipe in here because they sounded so good.
Are you a Brussels sprouts eater?
I am. And I never, you know, growing up, everyone always is like, oh, they're so great. You know, Brussels sprouts. It's like this gross thing.
Right, because a lot of times they're cooked to death.
They're mushy.
Yeah, and they're not even green. They're kind of gray.
But they're so good, like you said, when you roast them in the oven.
They are good.
They get crunchy.
And they're also good on top of the stove with a little bacon. Mm. But these were done in the oven, just tossed with maple syrup and shallots and stone ground mustard. And put them on a baking sheet and let them roast. But the key is that you cook them for 15 minutes, but then you have to start flipping them over every 5 to 7 minutes, or they will start to burn. And as I mentioned in my column, some of the leaves fell off and got really crispy. Mm-hmm. And I liked that, but my husband not so much. So I ate all the crispy parts. But the Brussels sprouts that stayed intact, he liked very much.
Yeah, I like them when they're real crispy on the outside and then still a little soft in the middle.
Yes, not mushy, but soft.
Right. Well, that sounds like a good recipe that I'll have to try out sometime.
It's good with pork.
Okay, I'll just do the whole thing. I'll just go back and get that one, and I'll do this one, and Jacob will love it, I'm sure. So, alrighty. Well, thanks, Jenna, for joining us. And
thank you.
Keep up with all of the latest politics and happenings going on in Jackson. Watch the Daily Journal's Capitol View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capitol Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in our state's capital. Watch live on Monday afternoons at 2 p.m. or catch the replay later in the day.
You can also wake up and get ready for your day with the Daily Journal's News Break, a quick summary of news, sports, weather, and everything else Northeast Mississippi in a five-minute video. Shows are posted each weekday at 7 a.m. at djournal.com, Facebook, YouTube, and the Daily Journal's mobile apps for Apple and Android devices. Well, Thanksgiving is upon us. A week from yesterday. It is upon us. As we have also had the Daily Journal's annual Thanksgiving luncheon. And usually things shut down around town around that time. But there's one event that always happens around Thanksgiving that celebrates the holidays for a good cause. That is Hope for the Holidays, the North Mississippi Dance Center benefit. This is be their fifth annual year, and they raise money for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. And this year is no different. They have raised over $66,000, I think, since their first year total. And looking to add to that this year. The kids each do a little dance, and people come and donate, and there's fundraisers, and it's cute, and it's fun. And it's happening Sunday at 3 p.m. at the Tupelo High School Performing Arts Center. It is free admission, and... But donations are, of course, accepted to go towards St. Jude.
Sounds like a good time.
It is.
So what else is going on? Some art? Know. Some TCT off-Broadway?
I don't know. Today and Saturday, you can see the award-winning At Wits End production at Tupelo Community Theater on 213 East Franklin Street behind the Bancorp South Arena. It is a one-woman show featuring the work of Irma Brombeck, newspaper columnist. So it's a comedy. It's fun. That's going on. $20 tickets and for adults and $10 for students and younger. You can call 844-1935. That is Friday and Saturday only. And then also with Tupelo Community Theater on Sunday afternoon is the anniversary of the Lyric Theater turning 105 years old. It used to be the Comus Theater when it was opened in 1912.
Huh. So what will they, it says an open house, what are they going to be doing?
Some sort of presentation will be made.
Okay.
I do not know what. I will be there covering it. So find out when I'm there.
Find out in Monday's Daily Journal.
That is correct. Front page material.
Right.
And that's what's happening in scene.
Cool. It's about to be full of, Hope for the Holidays. I guess that's Christmassy, but it's about to be all Christmas all the time, huh?
Yep.
Yep. Events.
Yep.
Everywhere.
Christmas plays, Christmas parades, Christmas festivals.
Santa everywhere.
Santa everywhere.
He's a busy dude.
Is he coming here again?
He is coming here.
Are you going to be an elf again?
I haven't decided yet, but he'll be here December 6th and 7th.
You're going to be an elf again.
It's actually why I got my hair cut. They have like a code, and elves aren't allowed to have... If your hair's too long, it might get caught in the machines when you're making the toys. And so I had to get it cut so that I could be an elf again.
That sounds plausible.
Right. So
I'd believe it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Safety first.
Safety first for the elves. That'll do it for this week. Next week, of course, Thanksgiving holidays. Plan to at least do one episode, but watch our Twitter at DJournalMemo for more information on that, where you can also listen to us at memo.djournal.com or on any podcast app where podcasts are applicable.
Yep.
I like saying applicable.
That's a
good word.
Yeah, it's a good word. Cool.
And the stories discussed today on the memo you can find in Wednesday or Thursday's Daily Journal or online at djournal.com. See you next time.